My name's Brad. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Wow. Born in Atlanta, Georgia, 1971, April 16th. I was born to a prearranged adoption and to a very good, loving family. When I grew up, I never felt weird because of that or anything like that. I never felt different or really just outcast because of that. And it's funny, I have a sister. She was adopted also at the same time in a different family, from a different family, but she's also an alcoholic as well. She's in the program. I don't think she attends meetings anymore, but she's been sober for about 10 years. My story does, in a relative way, just kind of similar to a lot of what I've heard over the past 100 days or so. My sobriety date is October 7th, 2009. And I always did feel different in other ways. That I never fit in with any particular group. I never feel like people really liked me. And I was trying to do things to try and impress people all the time. I just was always very ADD, very just all over the place, doing all kinds of things, just trying to do anything just to get attention, really. I remember when I was in first grade, they had show and tell, and kids would bring in certain things for show and tell. I stood up in the class. I said, "Yeah, my parents are getting divorced." And it absolutely wasn't true. So I'm there that night, and my bed's about to go to sleep, or I was sleeping or something. I remember they barged in. I said, "What's going on? Why'd you tell the teachers that?" And I don't really remember what I said, but who knows why the heck I did that. Just wanted attention, I guess. And, so I had my first drink when I was 13, or roughly around there anyway. My next door neighbor, his name was Adam, and he was broken to his parents' liquor cabinet, had a few drinks, and I don't honestly remember how I felt that time. But I was raised Jewish, and we went to a lot of bar mitzvahs and a lot of weddings, and I had my first drunk at a bar mitzvah, and I remember looking around seeing all the adults drinking, there wasn't water, and I was like, that looks cool, I want to do that, I want to be like them. Everyone looks like they're having a really good time, and everyone's talking to them. So I went to the bar, and I was like 13, and they're serving me tours and water. And I remember how warm it made me feel. I do remember, I so remember like it was yesterday, how warm in my mouth, my jaw feel, my body, and how it made me feel. And I just knew that's what I wanted to do. And so, I didn't drink a lot until high school. I just got drunk every weekend, really, really drunk every weekend. And nothing really bad ever happened in high school. I was actually a pretty good kid. I never really went out and did any damage or got arrested or got in trouble or anything like that. It wasn't until I went to college and I was just very insecure. I went to the dorm room and I was hanging out with all these guys, and it was a big party, the block party that night, and had several 10 kegs and 300, 400 people. And I really don't remember much except waking up at 5 in the morning under someone's porch, and I didn't know where I was. It was the first day there. And so I start running down drunk. I found the stadium. Okay, that's the wrong way. I ran the other way, and somehow made it back to my dorm room. And that was pretty much set the bar for what my college life was going to be like, because I was just always, I went to class, but I never studied. And I left college when I was 20. With like a 2.8 or something like that. But I left college because I got a DUI and another arrest. And so my parents said, "We're not going to pay for you to party and get in trouble. You're coming home." And so I got a slap on the wrist for that DUI, and said, "Okay, that was an accident. Everyone gets a DUI." But they were like, no, you're not living with us unless you go to rehab. So they sent me to rehab for 30 days, and that's when I had my first AA meeting when I was 21. The DUI like a week before my 21st birthday. And I was like, okay, I'll play the game for a month. Because the first thing I said to that woman, there was no way I was an alcoholic. I'm like, alcoholic's a bum who sits on the street with a paper bag, and there's no way. So I drank a lot, I partied a lot. I was always the last man standing in some cases. But it was like, except for the story I just told you. But I was always, drank a lot more. When I say last man standing, I mean I always drank more than everybody else. And I was always the one that wanted to drink the most, the longest amount of time. And towards my later years, it's proved to be where I just, just be able to go on and on and on. It would turn out that I would get drunk off three drinks, feel drunk off three drinks, and then be, I could drink forever after that. It was really weird, strange. But, in rehab, the first thing I said to the lady was, "There's nothing you're going to tell me that's going to make me stop drinking." It's the first thing I said to her. And I remember how the lady looked at me, and she was like, "Oh, okay, well, come on in and take a tour around, and we'll see you." I was like, "Okay, fine." And so I did that for 30 days. I went to meetings on and off for about 9 months. I stayed sober. So I was living with my parents. I knew I was just only doing to appease them. And then I met this girl, and it was Buckhead in Atlanta, and I wanted a party. That life very much appealed to me. And so I just started doing that. And then when I wasn't going out, I was drinking every night. It was right from the bat. When I was about 22 years old, I was drinking every night off the bat. And then I was 25. I joined the Jimmy Buffett Parrot Head Club, and I don't know if you know anything about parrot heads. All you really do is drink, you know. And I did that, you know, went out every night, drove home drunk 3-4 nights a week, just wasted. Had my own apartment with this guy and a friend of mine, and we, you know, he would always come in, and he would have a couple of beers. I'd come home and have a 12-pack, and he'd be like, you need to watch that, you know, you're drinking a little too much. And I got 25, I got second DUI, and I was like, okay, a lot of people get second ones too, right? Cool, you know, that's all right, all right. That's when I actually started saying, well, maybe I just, you know, everyone kept talking to me and telling me, you might want to go check out AA. And so I went to a few meetings, and I couldn't, I was like, still, I reached that point, I'm like, I don't know if that's really called powerlessness or unmanageability. Because, you know, I wasn't having any other consequences at this point. I was always able to manage to keep a job. And I also had a lot of enabling through my parents, because they would give me money whenever I asked for it. And I would lie and say, well, why do you need money? You know, we just gave you $1,000 last week or a couple weeks ago. Well, we just have all these bills, and I got this, my dog's expensive. And I would just think of excuses, and they'd buy it. And yeah, I would even offer, I'll give you receipts for everything if you want to see, but knowing they wouldn't want to see. But, I did that. And I couldn't stay. I went to AA on and off for about a month. Still didn't want to do it. And when I was 29, I developed a kidney disease. And, I was drinking quite a bit. My roommate had moved out. He'd gotten engaged and moved out. And I was stuck by myself. Drinking a lot every night. Still going to the Parrot Head Club, following Jimmy Buffett around. It seemed like 25 crazy times. Just did that. But the program, I still wasn't having any of the message. I would read step one, step two, and then when I got to step three, I'd be like, okay, God thing, what is that? Because in my Jewish family, I went to Sunday school every Sunday, but I resisted any concept of a God, because I was one of those people, I was always, I can't obtain what I can't see, or I can't believe what I can't see or feel, and I still have a hard time with that at 100 days sober. I really don't know what my concept is, as far as my concept of God is something in the air. It's a spirit. It's what puts people in front of us. It's what how you feel and how you perceive the universe and the things that happen within the universe and why things happen. Because I do believe everything happens for a reason. And when the kidney disease came, I was like, oh man, I drank myself into kidney disease. It was pretty serious at first. I was up like 260 pounds, just water weight. And I went with the doctor. He said, how much are you drinking? I told him. He's like, you need to go to talk to this guy about getting into rehab. I was like, okay. So I went to this addictionologist, and I said to the guy, so, you know, I want to stop drinking. You know, I really do. You know, I drink way too much. It's just crazy. And again, I hadn't had any major, except for the two DUIs, well, which were bad enough. But I didn't have any other stuff really happen that bad. As far as directly happening to me, I did know that I was lonely and I didn't have any relationships, and I wasn't any woman who I would let get a little bit close to me, I would push her away. Or if she was getting in the way of my drinking, let's say I can't have her around, she's getting in the way of my drinking. You know, my mom would set me up with her friends' daughters. I'm like, I'd go out with them, but, you know, they weren't big drinkers, so I'd be like, I can't really, I didn't have much to talk about really either, because I was always drinking. I was never that social. I would go out, but I would be drunk all the time. I wasn't really that social. I didn't have a lot to talk about, And then sometimes when I would even go out, ask a girl out on my own, I'd ask her out, and I'd be like, great, okay, I had a date Friday with this hot girl. And then Friday would come, I'd be pissed off, because I'm going out with this hot girl, but I got to control my drinking for a little while. I can't see her at me acting like that. I would actually get mad about that. And so I knew I had a problem, but I still wasn't willing to face, AA, what is, those people. I'm not going to that. I'm better. I don't need anybody's help. So I went back to the story. I went to this addictionologist, and he said, I said, I want to get sober, but, I think if I just figure out why I drink, if I figure out why I drink, I'll be okay. And he said, no, it doesn't matter why you drink. You know, it doesn't really matter why you drink. You're an alcoholic, and you need to go to rehab right now. So I stood up in his office, and I gave him an evil look, and I walked out. And so anyway, fast forward. I moved to Florida 5 years ago. Things just got bad. I ran to Florida to get away from alcohol and drugs. Got worse by a millionfold when I got here. I was here a year, came into a few meetings. After, back about 2.5 years ago, I really said, okay, this is getting just out of control. I got third DUI, so 0.32. I knew that I was, I got arrested two other times in that year, 2006, and I just came in the program. What I would do is I would drink, and I would start crying, and I would call people and say, help me, mom, dad, help me. They sent me to rehab again when I got here, two more detoxes, par and town and country, and finally came in 2 years ago, and I started to listen a little bit. I couldn't take it anymore. Screaming. It was just like a storm. I can't really describe it. And so I couldn't do it then either. I came in, it took me two more years. And I was getting to the point where I was drinking so much, I would wake up middle of the night wanting to drink. And the next day I would be shaking so bad at work, I'd be walking around and I'd almost pass out, have like these things go off my head, like pins and needles all over my skin. And I have to work on stuff at work, and I couldn't because I was shaking so bad. I'd be embarrassed. I'd have somebody else do it. And so I came in this past last June, but I stayed in for 43 days, went back out for two more months. And now I'm back. This past 100 days, I've heard so much. I actually stuck around because I had nowhere else to go. I went to a rabbi. I went to a psychiatrist. I went to a therapist. I went to my physician. He said, the only thing for you is AA. And I was like, okay, I'll go. Doctor told me. Doctor told me. So I came, and it's been the only thing that I can't believe it. I can't believe I've been sober 100 days. I really can't. I almost don't believe that I'm standing up here doing this. When I was sitting out there, I just think that guy's like, it's important. He's important. That guy. I'll never be able to do that. And here I stand. Not that I'm not important. I'm just another guy. But I've learned how to humble myself. I've learned how to accept that I am somebody. I may have something to offer. I've accepted that, it is what it is, and I just have to do these steps and do these and do these things to not drink, because I can't drink. I'll do anything not to drink, because it was just I can't really describe it right now because I'm still nervous and I was just asked to do this, but I'm glad I'm here. I've met some great people, made some great relationships, and I haven't done this perfectly at all so far, but I got to remember I only have 100 days. I got to take it easy, and that's kind of what I've been doing. And anyway, thanks for listening.